Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read a section from the gospel lesson again, Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius, he sent them into his vineyard. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. So Jesus spoke this parable in response to a discussion he had just had with his disciples at the end of the last chapter. Here's a part of that discussion. Peter answered Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the many who are last will be first." And then Jesus comes with the parable of our text. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. Jesus gives this parable of our text as a warning regarding what he had just said about following him and a reward. To put it one way, this parable is a warning against self-righteousness or work righteousness. And he pleads with them in this parable to remember that the reward of heaven is by grace and not by works, even though the word grace is never found in this parable. So in order to clarify what Jesus is saying here, let's ask some questions. What does it mean to work in the vineyard? Well, to work in the vineyard simply means to follow Christ. And what does it mean to follow Christ? Well, it means to be a Christian. And what is it to be a Christian? There are a number of ways you could answer that question, but one of the better ways to answer that question is simply to look at the explanation to the second and third articles in the Small Catechism, where Luther writes, "I believe that Jesus Christ is true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, and that he is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, in order that, what? I might be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, blessedness, even as he has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity." And then the second article, or the third article, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel and enlightened me with his gifts." In other words, the word and the sacraments, those are his gifts to us, to enlighten us. Enlighten me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives me and all believers all our sins. In the last day, he will raise up me and all the dead and grant me and all believers in Christ eternal life. So there's a nice summary of what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, to work in the vineyard. And all this includes or implies being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, being brought to and continuing in true repentance and faith in Jesus, to do good works, to suffer and to bear our crosses, to receive the blessed sacrament, to pray, praise, and give thanks. And so all this is what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, to work in the vineyard. And that may begin soon after we're born. It may begin at the age of 3 or 18 or 55 or 89. It may take place in Illinois or Mexico or Australia or Russia or China. It may take place in the year 33 AD or 425 or 1817 or 1973 or 2020. But as Jesus points out in our parable, there can be a problem with a particular group. And that problem has to do with the concept of merit or earning, a earning mentality. In other words, we worked longer than them. We worked harder than them. We have suffered more than them. And you know what? That's true. Some have. You look at Noah. In his day, you look at Elijah the prophet. You look at those Jews that were taken into captivity in Babylon. You look at the early Christians right after the time of Christ, who made great confessions of faith. And then they were persecuted. And some of them were martyred. We can think of Christians in the former Soviet Union, Christians today in China, and in many countries where Islam reigns, many of whom have been beheaded, including just recently again. It happened again. And all the while, these Christians are loving and even forgiving their enemies. And so it was horrifying what was sometimes and has been and still is being done to them. And it's amazing to think how these Christians have responded with love and endurance in the faith. So what about us? Well, many of you have been Christians since infancy, and you haven't missed a beat, which is very, very admirable. Some of you have come from a long line of faithful Christians, which is a wonderful heritage. Some of you have lived better lives than the rest of us and avoided those ugly and big sins. Some of you have shown greater love and mercy towards your neighbor, especially toward those in need. Some of you have given more for the work of the church so that the church can continue to exist and even maybe grow. Some of you have a better grasp of Christian doctrine. And you've shown great loyalty to the purity of that doctrine. Some of you have perhaps waged noble battles for the truth of Christianity, maybe when others didn't, but should have. Some of you have been more involved in mission work and evangelism to your neighbor, to the person in a foreign country. Some of you have suffered more and borne heavier crosses. You have endured more. Some of you have been persecuted because you stood up for the truth when it was scary and dangerous to do so, and you've paid the price. Some of you have simply kept the commandments within your family better or within other vocations more humbly than and better than the rest of us. And you have done all these things while remaining in true repentance and faith in Jesus. So here's the point. All of these, no matter the extent, all of these are the work of the Holy Spirit. And all of these things done by you are good. So well done, brothers and sisters in Christ. And here's the point again, but only from the opposite side of the coin. None of these make us any more worthy before God. We do not earn any more before God because of these. And if we think so, if we think we deserve more from God because the Christian next to us has not done as much as we have, has not done it as long, because that person next to us has not borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat as we have, then we are like those grumbling workers in the parable, to whom Jesus said, "The first will be last." We think in our hearts we can earn God's favor. We believe we deserve God's reward because of what we have done. That's work righteousness. And work righteousness is a dangerous thing. It denies the biblical reality of our sinfulness. And it robs God of his grace. And it will send us to hell. That's what Jesus means when he says the first will be last. What has made us worthy is the generosity, the grace alone of the master of the house, the one who owns the vineyard for whom we are to work. Jesus is the generous, good, gracious, merciful vineyard owner. What has made us worthy is not our work in the vineyard, but the work of the vineyard owner. It was the Lord's living and suffering and dying in our place for all our sins that he did way before we were even called into to work in the vineyard here on earth, that he did way before we were called. It is that work, his work alone, that has earned us the denarius. We simply have the privilege of being called to work in his vineyard here on earth, to follow him, to be Christians. As St. Paul said, "For the wages of sin is death." And that's what we earn. That's the only thing we earn. Sin earns us death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Where St. Paul said in Ephesians 2, "For you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not from works, so that no one, so that you and I will not and cannot boast." And if you're wondering how what you do, how your good works fits into all this, the answer is given to us by Paul in the very next verse of Ephesians chapter 2. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do." So, at the end of the day of your work in the vineyard, when our time is up from following Christ here on earth, we receive a denarius. We receive our wage. And that wage is the same for all true believers, no matter how long, how well, or how hard they have labored in the vineyard. It's the same wage for everyone who was called into this vineyard and has worked there, for it is by grace and grace alone. You get a denarius, you get heaven. Again, here's how Jesus put it right before our parable in the previous chapter. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake, in other words, everyone who has abandoned a trust in something or someone other than Christ, in order to trust in Jesus, to follow Jesus, to be a Christian. Everyone who has left something or someone for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. For my sake, will inherit eternal life. And so there, it's just so plain. Inheritance is not something you earn. It's a gift because you belong to a family. And in our case, our brother is Jesus. And that means, therefore, our father is his father. So, you are in the vineyard, fellow believers. You have been hired by Christ, who has paid for all your sins, who has forgiven you all your sins, has promised you salvation, and all of this by pure grace. The vineyard owner, Jesus Christ, cannot get any more generous. And while you are there in this vineyard by faith, you follow Christ, you love him, you serve him, and you serve your neighbor, and you speak about Christ to others, you bear your crosses with joy, and by the grace of God, you will endure. And not only will you endure, but you will receive the reward of heaven, won for you by Christ alone and by grace alone. Work hard. But do not let your hard work and your toil and your suffering and your following Christ to turn into self-righteousness. It is all by grace. It is all undeserved love. And during this next week, when you find yourself sinning, or you find yourself patting yourself on the back thinking, I am better than him, so God will reward me. Well, just remember, we will see you back here next Sunday, along with me. So you and I may hear again and receive again the forgiveness of our sins, in the promise of that wage, that denarius, that heaven that is ours, by grace, for Christ's sake, through faith. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.